to the book of Jeremiah. We'll be in chapter 20. Just by way of background, the first three verses of Jeremiah, back in chapter 1, set the historical background of the book, covering a period of about 42 years. The background details of Jeremiah's times are portrayed in 2 Kings chapter 22 through 25, 2 Chronicles chapters 34 through 36. Coming to the book of Jeremiah, Israel, the northern kingdom, had already been taken into captivity by Assyria. Judah, the southern kingdom, was rushing headlong on a course toward its own destruction. They, like their counterpart, had ignored God, would not hear the prophets of God, had put away truth, true worship had ceased, and they were just moving further and further away from God, dismissing God from their thoughts and lives, replacing God with idol gods, just being busy and other things. Overall, they had become desensitized to the things of God. God raised up and sent forth Jeremiah to preach a message revealing the sins of the nation, warning them time and time again that time was fleeing and the judgment of God was coming. He continually stressed the importance of them repenting. But Judah saw nothing wrong with themselves, and they had convinced themselves that God would not judge them because of the temple, and that God somehow would send the Egyptians or some other nation or nations to rescue them from the threat of the Babylonians that Jeremiah was speaking of. Jeremiah preached for, again, about 42 years. And he did so with a very heavy and sorrowful heart. Notice in Jeremiah 9, in verse 1, he said, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of thy people." And his message for 42 years was absolutely ignored. He preached without seeing any sign of encouragement, without seeing any sign of improvement. The headlong course of the nation into sin and toward their own destruction was not altered one iota by Jeremiah's preaching. He did not see any sign in 42 years that his preaching had any positive impact at all upon the people. Yet he was faithful to his task. Through much personal sorrow and struggle and heartache and difficulty and much personal danger, he performed what God sent him and called him to do. Jeremiah is a great lesson in perseverance. reading through the book of Jeremiah, we see a nation that had fallen apart. Everything was going wrong. There were enemies surrounding them on all sides. Troubles were widespread within the nation. The government was completely corrupt. Disasters were looming, and degeneracy was everywhere. Judah was in an advanced stage of sin. In fact, as you read the book of Jeremiah, there is certainly a parallel between them and our own nation this morning. Again, in the midst of all of these things, and things were worsening, it was bad and things were just getting worse, we receive encouragement from Jeremiah in what a child of God should do when things are falling apart all around him, perhaps in the home or the community or the nation or the whole world. Jeremiah is a wonderful example. When someone is discouraged that preaching does not seem to be making any impact, read the book of Jeremiah for 42 years. Jeremiah would not be considered a success today. Jeremiah would be voted out of most Baptist churches today because he preached for 42 years and nothing happened. Nothing happened. So Jeremiah in today's world would be considered an utter failure. People need to read the book of Jeremiah. God's people need to read the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 20, we'll read verse 9. We've preached from this verse before. One of the songs we sang this morning goes right along with this verse. Then I said, this is Jeremiah speaking, he's praying to God, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I want to speak this morning on the internal combustion of God's Word. First of all, consider the circumstances surrounding this verse. We are told of the call of Jeremiah in chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. And Jeremiah is told, gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I have commanded thee. Be not dismayed at their faces. And in chapter 1 and verse 19, he was told, and they shall fight against thee. And he was given this promise, they shall not prevail against thee, and I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. So with that in mind, leading up to our text, Jeremiah has preached over and over. And in doing so, he has confronted Judah with their sin in very plain and very graphic language. He revealed how they had rejected the Lord for idols. You can read that chapter 2, chapter 7. We don't have the time. How that they were guilty of gross personal unrighteousness. He preached to them in very plain and graphic language that they hypocritically claimed to be God's people. He told them over and over that they refused to hear God's word. They refused to be corrected, and that they followed false prophets. And the reason being was because the false prophets spoke what they wanted to hear. So Jeremiah had been obedient to the call of God. Jeremiah for years had been faithful to God's command to preach. And God had promised him, "I will be with thee. They will not prevail over thee." But the end result of Jeremiah's preaching up to this point in Jeremiah 18. In verse 18, "Then they said, Come, and let us devise devices against Jeremiah." They viewed Jeremiah as the enemy. One of the greatest faults of God's people today is that they have misidentified the enemy. "For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet." What they're saying is, we have to shut this man up. Come, let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. The way we'll get at Jeremiah is we'll talk bad about him, we'll plant seeds. And we're not going to listen to what he says. So that was the end result up to this point of Jeremiah's preaching. Coming to our text, Jeremiah has just finished preaching another message. In chapter 19, verse 14 and 15, "Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, Thus saith the Lord." Keep in mind where he's preaching. In the court of the Lord's house. He's preaching to the religious, which is who he preached to throughout the book. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words." So that was Jeremiah's message leading into our text. Following this message, we read in Jeremiah 20 and verse 2 that Pashur, who is the priest, we're told that in verse 1, smote Jeremiah and put him in the stocks. This smiting of Jeremiah was probably 40 lashes. That's what was allowed by law from Deuteronomy chapter 25. In verse 3, the worst criminals would receive 40 lashes, and Jeremiah was considered to be one of the worst criminals, the enemy. So Jeremiah has been smitten. He's put in the stocks. He's in pain. He's in torment. He's brought forth in the morning in verse 3. And without wavering, he continues to preach a message of judgment, this time directly to Pashur. And in verses 3 through 6, we have recorded what Jeremiah told him. And basically what he told him was, because you have refused to hear God's message, you will see the outpouring of God's judgment. You will see the terror. You would watch in terror as your own friends fall by the sword. And you will see Babylon carry away all the wealth of Jerusalem. Following that message, verse 7, Jeremiah begins to pray. O Lord, he says. So now Jeremiah has ceased speaking to Pasher. And he's beginning to pray. And what we read in our text is part of that prayer. But in this prayer, Jeremiah pours out his heart to God. And what he's telling him is the terrible spiritual state in which he succumbed to while a prisoner in the stocks. He was only a prisoner there for one day. But up to that point, Jeremiah had been preaching now for decades. And while a prisoner in the stocks, again, Jeremiah had the promise of God. They shall not prevail against thee. I am with thee. It's hard to coincide that with after receiving 40 lashes and being in the stocks. And though Jeremiah had been obedient, and though Jeremiah had been faithful in proclaiming God's message, he has been beaten, and he's a prisoner. And he says in verse 7, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. Again, we see when he came out of the prison, he immediately preached to Pasher. But now he's telling the Lord what he experienced while he was in that prison. Jeremiah felt while he was in that prison that he had been forsaken by God. Jeremiah, while he was in that prison, became upset with God. People will immediately think, well, that's terrible. Yes, it is. But don't get on your high horse. You've been there. There's times we get upset. And if we really examine what it is we're upset with God. And Jeremiah was there. While a prisoner in the stocks, Jeremiah lost his focus upon God. And all the trials, and all the difficulties, and the turmoils, and the sufferings that he'd experienced from preaching the Word of God began to flood his soul. He says in verse 7, I am in derision. That is mockery and ridicule and the sneers and the taunts and the disdain and the insults. He says, I am in derision daily. So there in the prison, he is upset with God. He has lost sight of God. And he's beginning to think of everything that he's experienced during his ministry. And he says, everyone mocketh me. He makes reference to his preaching in verse 8, still speaking to God. He says, I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil. In other words, the message he preached was a message of judgment. But he says, I was faithful, I spake, and I cried, and I cried. I continued to preach that message. I was faithful, I was obedient. Here I am in the stocks. And he says in verse 8, because the word of the Lord, that is because of the message he preached, he was made a reproach. That is, he was brought to disgrace. I was made a disgrace unto me and a derision daily. So while a prisoner held in the stocks, he began to think this way. I've been faithful. I've been obedient to God's calling. And it has brought me nothing but reprimand, ridicule, mockery, taunts, disrespect, contempt. And here I am. in this place of disgrace. He went on in verse 10. And he says, he speaks of the defaming of many. That is, he was the object of slurs. And he goes on to tell how he had experienced much fear on, he says, fear on every side. And he talks about his acquaintances, how they were eagerly awaiting for Jeremiah to fall, for Jeremiah to be defeated, so that they could have opportunity. Jeremiah is telling God that while he was a prisoner that day held in the stocks, that he sunk into the depths of self-pity. I mean, you read those verses, that's where Jeremiah is. We've all been there. While a prisoner in the stocks, it appeared to Jeremiah that the enemy had won. And Jeremiah is telling God, while he was a prisoner held in the stocks, it's as if he's saying, Lord, I was sinking into the depths of discouragement, defeat, and despair. And then in verse 9, he tells God that he was ready to quit. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. There came a point while Jeremiah was in the stocks that he began to think, began to review his ministry, as we've already seen. And the only thing he was thinking of was all the trials and all the mockery, and there was no positive impact that can be seen as a result of his preaching for decades now. And he's telling God, he's saying, I had these thoughts. What's the use? And he's saying, I've had enough. I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. While a prisoner in the stocks, his passion, his zeal, his fervor began to wane. And he began to feel that it was a waste of time to go on serving God. There's many there today. There really is. I've seen it in many places. I see it here. People see attendance declining and they get so depressed. You need to get over that. You need to get over that. It's a different message, but God does purge, and God has told us He will purge His churches before it comes. And I believe we're living in that day. You go ahead and blame the preacher. You can do that all you want to. That's what they did with Jeremiah. But you need to read your Bible, and you need to get past the discouragement. Oh, Brother Dan, do you realize that it won't be long? We'll be down to 11 or 12 people. Perhaps. We might not have that many. But you just go on serving God anyway. Amen. Jeremiah was ready to quit God. A lot of people there today. A lot of people already have. His thinking was skewed. Anytime you're thinking about quitting God, I'm here to tell you, your thinking is messed up. And as you view Jeremiah held in the stocks, he's physically wounded. He's in agonizing pain. He's in extreme discomfort. But worse than that, he had spiritually succumbed to a very harmful place. He is in a place of spiritual paralysis. And he's overcome with discouragement. defeat and despair and hopelessness. From time to time, I have pastors call me and they tell me how discouraged they are, and I always tell them, go to Jeremiah. Read Jeremiah. Well, Brother Dan, I've been preaching for the last 2 years and nothing has happened. Jeremiah did it for 42 years. 42 years. Get over the discouragement. But praise God, the story doesn't end with Jeremiah in this place. After pouring out his heart to God about this horrible place that he had succumbed to spiritually, he says in verse 9, but there's the turning point. We know in verse 3 that he came out of the prison preaching. So something happened while he was in that prison as he succumbed to this terrible spiritual place. But, and he began to tell God, while a prisoner held in the stocks in this terrible spiritual condition, that something happened. And what happened involved God's Word. What happened inside of him. And today people are longing for something to happen, but what they're longing for to happen isn't going to do any good. They're longing to see visible results. What we need is something to happen inside of us. And Jeremiah is saying, something happened, and it happened inside of me. And what happened changed the course of Jeremiah and filled Jeremiah with a new determination and enabled Jeremiah to continue on. And he burst out of that prison that morning. His back is sore. He's in pain. And he preaches the same message because of what happened while he was in that prison. Jeremiah had sunk into spiritual depths. But notice, but his word. This book. He says, but his word. He recognizes it as God's word. May we never forget that. It's God's Word. Isaiah 5 verse 24, it's called the Word of the Holy One. Isaiah 34 verse 16, the Book of the Lord. Jeremiah 9 and verse 20, the Word of His mouth. Romans chapter 3 and verse 2, the oracles or the utterances of God. It is the Word of God. It is the words of the Creator of the universe. The words of Almighty, All-Wise, and Holy God. But His Word, the very Word of the One who cannot be mistaken. The very Word of the One who cannot lie. But His Word for you and I, that is the King James Version, the Bible. God's preserved Word for His people today. The writing of the living God. The message direct from God. A dictation from the Holy Spirit. That which reveals the very thoughts of God. But His Word, that which is eternal, that which is immutable, but His Word, that which is settled and determined and fixed and sure and immovable, and in spite of all of man's hatred and persistent and determined and relentless attempts to destroy it, it stands today. But His Word, that which is pure, that which is flawless, that which is untainted, that which is real, but His Word, that which is true, that which is right, that which is unwavering, that which is unshakable and guaranteed and unfailing and absolutely reliable. His Word. That's His authority, His power, His influence. His Word, that which reveals the awesomeness of God, that which reveals the standards of God and the way to God, that which instructs us how to live, that which gives life, that which supports life and sustains life, that which produces and increases faith, that which converts and illuminates and makes wise, that which makes the things of God clear, that which cleanses the heart and the life, that which gives guidance and protection, that which God uses to cause us to grow, that which God uses to stimulate His people, that which God uses to produce hope, bring comfort, bring happiness and rejoicing and euphoria to the hearts of God's people. That which God uses to equip us for His service. Jeremiah says, but His Word, an inexhaustible wealth, a fountain, it cannot be drawn dry. That which is greater and more valuable than all the gold and silver in the world. But notice what he says. But His Word was in my heart. Keep in mind what Jeremiah is feeling. But His Word was in my heart. It was in my inner being. Speaking of the thoughts and the will and the affections. Speaking of that which controls and gives character to all that we do. His Word had found a lodging place in the heart of Jeremiah. And that will always be a difference maker. That's what we need today. Is for His Word to be in our heart. To be in our heart. That's what happened to Jeremiah. He succumbed to a terrible spiritual place. But he didn't stay there. Because the Word was in his heart. And it says it was as a burning fire. That means it was alive. It was active. It was alive and active within him. The Word of God in him was performing a function in his heart. The Word of God in his heart was having an effect upon him. It was as a burning fire. That means it was powerful. It was vigorous. It was a dynamic force and influence within him. That'll make a difference. The Word of God was within the heart of Jeremiah as a burning fire. It was spreading. It was extending its influence into his thoughts, which had become skewed, into his memory, into his conscience, into his affections, into his emotions, and into his will. The Word of God was in him, and it was burning as a fire, as a burning fire. That is, it was in him mightily working what it was designed to do. what God had designed it to do. The Word of God has a burning fire. That is, it had a consuming effect within him. He had succumbed to a terrible spiritual place. He was in the depths of self-pity. He was ready to quit God. But the Word of God within him consumed those thoughts. It was burning. And it consumed. And it began to melt the things that needed to be melted. It was penetrating. It was refining. And it had a warming power within him. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire. It was a reality. Fire is real. And when the word of God is in your heart burning as a fire, that means it's real. It's real. It's not just real sitting right here. It's real. It's real within. And that's what happened to Jeremiah while he was a prisoner held in the stocks. But notice what it says. The word of God is a burning fire, and it says, was shut up in my bones. It was looking for a way out. You cannot have the word of God in your heart without it finding a way out. It was shut up in my bones. In other words, there was an internal combustion. It was just waiting to burst forth. And that's what happened in verse 3 when Pastor let Jeremiah out of prison. Jeremiah stepped out of the prison and immediately he began preaching. Because the Word of God was bursting forth. Everything had changed in Jeremiah's heart. Again, beginning with verse 7, Jeremiah is pouring out his heart to God, telling him of the horrible spiritual condition in which he had succumbed to while held in the stocks. And he tells him the word of God. The word of God was within me, and it was doing a work, and it was doing a work of determination. I had determined to quit God. I had said, I will not make mention of him. I will not speak his name anymore. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. And he says, I was weary with forbearing. When they cast him into the prison, he was weary of telling it. He was weary of preaching. But now the word of God is burning in his heart. And he says, I couldn't hold it in. I was tired of holding it in. I couldn't hold it in. That's what we need today. We need the word of God to find a lodging place in the hearts of the sons and daughters of God. And they cannot keep it in. It just bursts forth. Whether we have 130 in church or whether we have 35 in church. That the word of God is in my heart burning. And I have a determination to serve God. That's what happened to Jeremiah. So he comes out of prison the next day there in verse 3. He's gotten over the depths that he had sunk to. Every preacher that's been preaching any time at all can identify with Jeremiah 20 verse 9. How many times, and the devil is an expert at getting a pastor, a preacher, to look at outward results, and he's not seeing any, and no one seems to be listening. He said, what's the use? Jeremiah did it for 42 years. But the devil has a way of getting our eyes on the wrong thing. Our responsibility is simply to be faithful to God's word. And how many preachers have quit? I've had several call me and say, Brother Dan, I've had it. I've had enough. I'm about to just resign. And we've all been there. But then something happens. I've quit many times in Monday mornings. But by Monday afternoon, a message begins to burn for Wednesday. And you just can't. Can't do it. It's all because the working of the Lord. So Jeremiah had succumbed to a terrible spiritual place. But his word was within Jeremiah working and acting like a burning fire. And self was consumed. We need the word of God to burn within us, consuming self. Jeremiah's wrong thinking was consumed. There were things that were consumed, but there were also some things that were rekindled. Love for God, passion, zeal, fervor, determination in God's service were all rekindled because the Word of God was within. That's where we need it today. The Word of God burning. Burning. In our hearts. Any preacher can stand up, preach the Word, and your head can be filled with the Word of God, but there isn't a man alive that can put it in your heart. Only God. Only God can do that. And that ought to be our prayer every day. That God's Word would burn within our heart. Well, how will I know if that happens? Same way you'll know if you're sitting in your living room and your house catches on fire. You're going to know it. You're going to know it. And when the Word of God is burning in your heart, it's going to have an effect. So Jeremiah stepped out of the physical prison. But more importantly, he stepped out of the spiritual prison that he had briefly succumbed to. And when he stepped out there in verse 3 and through verse 6 preaching, he had a new outlook upon God. Listen to people talk today. And I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about people right here in this building. Listen to them talk. Their outlook stinks. To put it in plain English. Their outlook is terrible. And the reason is they have a heart problem. Word of God is not burning in their heart. There are times we need a new outlook upon God. We need a new outlook upon His service. So, oh, how we ought to pray that God would cause His Word not only to be in our hearts, but to burn. To burn as a fire. Shut up in our bones. That it just can't stay in. It's got to come out. That's what we need. And I don't care if you have 500 people and only a couple of them have the Word of God burning in their heart. Give me 10 with all 10 of them burning in their heart. I'm telling you, those 10 will do more than 500. So it doesn't matter how many. What matters is who is here that the Word of God is burning in our hearts. And every single day you step out into that world and the world is there to pour water upon whatever fire is burning in your heart. There are people that the devil uses
to quench the fire that's burning within. This is a fire that we don't need any firemen. We don't need anyone trying to put this fire out. And there are even people in God's house. That fire begins to burn in your heart. And the devil pulls out his toolbox and there they are. And he uses them. Pour some water. Throw some sand. Throw some dust. Throw some earth on the fire. Don't let that happen. Don't let it happen. Again, if the fire burns within, it ought to concern us as soon as we begin to feel it not burning. As soon as that happens, we need to get on our knees and we need to pray. Because as soon as this book stops burning in our hearts, we're headed for a bad place. You're going to succumb to a spiritually harmful place. And what's sad is you won't keep that to yourself. You'll drag someone else down there with you. Or at least try. God help us that God would put His Word in our hearts as a burning fire shut up in our bones. And it just has to come out. Just has to come out. So many times it's just the opposite. It's not the Word of God burning in our hearts, it's the flesh. And it just got to come out somewhere. And it does. And it causes much harm. But again, Jeremiah preached for almost 42 years. Faithful. And that ought to be our goal, that ought to be our desire. Whatever it is that God has called us to do, whatever God has given us to do in the church, we ought to be content with that and to be faithful and obedient to whatever it is God has given us to do. Someone may think, well, the only thing I'm good for is cleaning. Then clean. Then clean. The only thing I'm good for is such and such. Then do it. Whatever it is that God has called us to do, be faithful in doing it. And do not look at someone and say, well, you know, they're not doing as much as me. Maybe they weren't called to do as much as you. You be faithful to what God's called you to do and pray that God will be faithful that they do what God's called them to do. But we all need the same thing. That Word of God burning in our hearts. Brother Jim, if you come and lead us. First song.